Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Happy Labor Day. Labor Day night. That's right. We are live. Live tonight on Labor Day. Unlike those losers everywhere else. Like, oh, Fox News. Glenn Beck, he was off today, wasn't he? Yeah, he was celebrating Labor Day. Enjoying the fruits of the union's labor. He's a union guy, by the way, I would suspect, if he's on Fox News. Funny thing, Fox News has not been, you know, I remember back at Memorial Day. They would run all weekend long, Memorial Day weekend. They were running thanks to our troops, and they were running little clips. And Labor Day, I haven't seen anything over there. Go figure. No thanks to the unions. No thanks to the working man. To the folks who allowed them this day off. Well, we don't get a day off. Mike Malloy does. But I'm happy to be here live from the among the charred and blackened hills of Los Angeles. We're going to be here with you all 3 hours tonight. And I will be sitting in for Mike Malloy all week long. So I hope you'll play along with us. Speaking of playing along with us, stop by bradblog.com where we've got our new chat room that we're checking out live. Agent 99 is keeping her eye on the chatters there. I'm going to do my best as well. Go to the first item, click here for more, and it's a live chat room. We've never tried it before. We're going to do it tonight. We've got a big show ahead. Kevin Zeese will be joining us from Voters for Peace and VelvetRevolution.us to talk about the DisbarTortureLawyers.com campaign. We're also going to be joined by best-selling author, I'm happy to say that, best-selling author David Swanson, who has a new book out just last week, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. Sounds good to me. We're going to ask him what the hell we're going to do now that we've got a guy like Obama in office, and yet progressives and progressivism seems to be getting tossed over the side, and that's where I'm going to, well, start out tonight, because let me tell you what. I was driving home. I was out somewhere Saturday night. I get the news about this Van Jones thing. And I had been watching, I should add, I'd been watching Glenn Beck all week, because if you haven't seen his TV show lately, it's the best. It is absolutely insane. It is like looking into the insane asylum and seeing the crazy people. The man is out of his mind. He is, how do I put it? Bat crap insane? Can I say it that way? Tony gives me the thumbs up. All right. He's out of his mind. Nobody should be paying attention to him other than to watch him just because he's so amusing. But Barack Obama is apparently paying attention to him because his campaign last week, Glenn Beck's campaign, was a success. Van Jones, he went after Van Jones, Barack Obama's green jobs advisor, not his green jobs czar. Sorry, Glenn, you're wrong there, too. No, he's not a czar. He's simply an advisor to his green jobs committee, the White House Council on Environmental Quality. He's a great progressive. He's an environmental advocate. He's a civil rights activist. He's an attorney. He's a New York Times best-selling author, Van Jones. He's a hero to progressives. His work out in Oakland for years has been discussed, where he would combine, really, prison reform, urban renewal, and green jobs in what he calls eco-capitalism. Sounds like a good idea. You would think eco-capitalism, no, not eco-communism, eco-capitalism, you would think that would be something that they'd be in favor of over there at Fox News. Capitalism. They love capitalism, right? No, apparently not. Why? Well, for a couple reasons. Van Jones turns out, well, I'll just come out and say it. He's black. So he doesn't score any points over at Fox News there. Certainly not with Glenn Beck. Certainly not with a campaign out against Glenn Beck for calling Barack Obama a racist. And the campaign, who's leading that campaign? A group by the name of ColorOfChange.org has succeeded in getting some 50 of Glenn Beck's sponsors to pull out from his show. They can't sell that time. The ratings are through the roof for Glenn Beck. They'd also be through the roof if they were, you know, throwing Christians to lions, or if they were showing porn. rates would go through the ratings would go through the roof there too. But no, so he's doing this crazy act. He's got no advertisers that are doing nothing but Fox promos now, and you know, buy you know, gold or some, you know, crap, some TV internet site, internet crap they're selling. And yet, it's because colorofchange.org led this campaign against Glenn Beck. Who founded Color of Change? Well, one of the co-founders just happens to be Barack Obama's now former green jobs advisor, Van Jones. So, yeah, I suspect Glenn Beck had it out for him. So what did he do? What did not Glenn Beck, we know what he did. What did Van Jones do to deserve such treatment? Why should he be thrown over by the Barack Obama administration? And make no mistake, he was. Barack Obama today said that, oh, we didn't ask him to leave. Well, I find that hard to believe. I will tell you this. They didn't refuse to accept his resignation. I recall hearing stories when Don Rumsfeld, when the war was going so poorly out in Iraq, that he submitted his resignation several times, but George Bush would not accept it. Well, Barack Obama apparently had no problem accepting Van Jones's resignation, did he? He did not stand up and fight for him. And I think that's outrageous. And we're going to talk about that a little bit shortly here. And we're going to take your calls. I forgot to give out the number. It's not Mike's normal number. It's our number out here in Los Angeles. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Keep it handy. We're going to try to get as many of your calls in as we can tonight. And I'm trying to leave the third hour completely open for your calls and discussion of so much of this. Anyway, back to Beck. So what is it that Beck uncovered very dramatically? If you watch the show, he uncovered these shocking, stunning videotapes. Well, the first one was one where they found that Van Jones was asked a question before he was at the White House. Long ago, when he was an activist, he was asked a question. Why is it, not that long, I think it was April or something. Why do the Republicans stick together? Why are they fighting for against reform for this, for that, for the other thing? And Van Jones said, well, because they're a-holes. And it was a joke, and he got a big laugh. But his point was actually not that they're bad guys. The point was that they stick together. They support their people. They are a-holes. As a matter of fact, he said that, we ought to have, Barack Obama should be more of an a-hole. I should be one. So that wasn't really a problem because, speaking to a bunch of activists out in Oakland, he says something like that as a joke. Everybody thinks it's funny. That couldn't be nearly as... It's not as if he went onto the floor of the Senate and told a senator to go F himself. Now, that would be outrageous. For that, I would definitely say he ought to resign. Who's done that before? Dick Cheney, did he do that? Yes, he did. To a sitting senator? Yes, he did. To Patrick Leahy. Did Dick Cheney have to resign for that? No, apparently not. Oh, man, what you can get away with if you're a Republican and you don't have to resign. You can break the law. You can say anything you want on the floor of the Senate to a sitting senator. You don't have to resign. You can do all kinds of unethical things, amoral things, immoral things. You don't have to resign. So he certainly didn't resign for that. He didn't resign because he said Republicans were a-holes. No. What the tipping point here, what put this over the top was last Thursday, I believe it was, the last live show that Glenn Beck was doing last week before he took the Labor Day weekend off. You're welcome, Glenn. He had a shocking new video. What was that video? What was that information that he had gotten? Well, the information was that apparently back in 2006, Van Jones had signed a statement. A shocking statement. He joined in support of 50 9/11 victim family members to say that we ought to investigate what happened on 9/11. Here's the statement, in case you haven't read it. On August 31, 2004, Zogby International, the official North American political polling agency for Reuters, released a poll that found nearly half, 49.3% of New York residents and 41% of those in New York State believe U.S. leaders had foreknowledge of impending 9/11 attacks and consciously failed to act. Of the New York residents, 66% called for a new probe of unanswered questions by Congress or the New York Attorney General. In connection with this news, we have assembled 100 notable Americans and 40 family members of those who died to sign this 9/11 statement, which calls for immediate public attention to unanswered questions that suggest that people within the current administration may indeed have deliberately allowed 9/11 to happen. Perhaps as a pretext for war. We want truthful answers to questions such as, and they go on to list 12 questions, four of which Glenn Beck pulled out, said they were absolutely outrageous that anyone should ask such questions. Oh, really, Glenn? First, Glenn, you lied. And I'll play that clip when we get back. You lied about what it was that Van Jones signed. And by the way, Van Jones says he doesn't remember signing this or that it didn't say what he thought it said, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, Beck lied about it. Furthermore, luckily on, I believe it was Friday, on the Glenn Beck Show, they played a rerun. And he had, Glenn Beck, before all this Van Jones stuff happened, had some very interesting things to say about asking questions and the importance of asking questions. We're going to have some clips of him talking about the importance of asking those dangerous questions. I guess only the ones that he approves, only the ones the Fox News thought police approve. We're going to have more on that after this. I'm Brad, in for Malloy. Happy Labor Day. Stick with us.
After all the jets are in the boxes, and the clowns have all gone to bed.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike all week. We are live on Labor Day, so if you're just driving in, please drive carefully. But welcome to some live AM talk radio. Probably AM. Who knows where you're listening? Satellite, FM, online. Stop by bradblog.com. We're checking out the new chat room we've got set up there. Agent 99 will be your lovely hostess for the evening. I'll do my best to check in. We're talking about that liar, that charlatan, the new head of the Fox News thought police, Glenn Beck, who has determined that you are not allowed to ask questions about your government. You're not allowed to ask any questions about your government. Well, okay. Only Glenn Beck approved questions about your government. If you dare to ask questions of your government the way Van Jones did by signing a statement that, frankly, he probably wasn't even paying attention to, where he said, you know, he wanted to know stuff like, oh, why were standard operating procedures for dealing with hijacked airliners not followed on 9/11? Okay, seems a fair enough question. Or were they? Were they followed that day? Seems a reasonable question to me. Apparently, not to Glenn Beck, who found it necessary to lie about Van Jones to get his pound of flesh, to get, dare I say, his pound of black flesh. Yes, this is political terrorism, as David Sirota called it today. I concur. Yes, this is an electronic lynching by Glenn Beck, by Fox News. And, of course, he couldn't even do it fair and square. He had to lie about it. Tony, I'm going to play a clip here. This was what Glenn Beck said. I believe this was on Thursday about Van Jones.
So on top of all of the radical, progressive, and communist nonsense coming from Obama's green job czar, Van Jones, you can now add, thinks the Bush administration blew up the World Trade Centers and covered it up.
Really? Really? Is that what he thinks? Because that's not what... That's not what the statement was that he signed, along with 50 family victim family members. That's not what he asked about. But even if he did ask about that, what's wrong with that? Why is that a problem? Glenn Beck, didn't you tell us earlier this week that we need to question boldly? Didn't you quote Thomas Jefferson? Let's play a little bit of this. Thomas Jefferson being quoted by Glenn Beck.
I told you yesterday that there are three principles that this show is going to drum through in the next week. In fact, it may be our mantra for a very long time. Question with boldness. It's something that changed my life that Thomas Jefferson said. Question. Honest questioning. Question with boldness. Then the second step is, once you find the truth, whatever it is, hold to it.
Really?
Hold to the truth. And the third one, speak without fear. Uh-huh. If you truly ask what Thomas Jefferson called honest questions, uh-huh, with a sincere heart.
Really?
I have found that the answers in all aspects of your life may take you to a very uncomfortable place.
Really?
Tonight...
What questions are those, Glenn? The ones that Fox News approves? Only the questions that you approve, you hero? Coward.
Tonight, they're going to take you, and this week, they're going to take you to places that you don't want to go.
Really? Where?
Nobody wants to think that our president is a bad guy.
Really?
When you
Which
hear
president?
Evidence to the contrary, you have a decision to make.
Do you, Glenn?
Will you bury your head in the sand, refusing to believe because it doesn't fit your political agenda,
uh-huh,
or it just doesn't fit with your comfort level?
Right.
Or will you hold to the truth, whatever it is?
Well, don't hold to the truth if you believe it, if it's something that Glenn Beck doesn't believe in. I'm going to have a lot more on him throughout the show tonight, certainly in the third hour. Stick with us. Oh, man, not enough time for everything. Brad, in for Malloy. Kevin Zeese coming up next.
Take you home with me. Put you in my house. Boom, boom, boom.
Can we please, please throw some people in jail? Can we please throw Dick Cheney in jail? Yes, I believe we can. Yes, he's a war criminal. Yes, we're going to be talking about that in a second with Kevin Zeese, Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy, live on Labor Day. Glad to have you with us. And as I promised, don't call the Malloy. Don't call their number because they're gone. They're out having fun. We're here, 877-520-1150. I know a lot of folks called in and wanted to talk about Van Jones. Kevin Zeese was kind enough to allow me to push him back to get in a little bit about Van Jones at the top of the show. I'm going to cover him again in the ensuing hours, and I will take all of your calls, even from the fellow down in Odessa, Texas, who said that he thinks Van Jones should have resigned. He's happy that he resigned. Really? Because the Fox News thought police said so? Doesn't seem like a good reason to resign to me. Karl Rove, he outed a CIA operative. He didn't have to resign for that, did he? No, I think that what Van Jones had to sign for was asking reasonable questions in an unreasonable time. Huh. Where do I know that? Where does that sound familiar? Tony, you got some sound here? Yeah.
America, if you want answers to reasonable questions in this unreasonable time, stand up. Come on, follow me.
Uh-huh. I will follow you to the gates of hell, sir. You liar, Glenn Beck. You don't give a damn about reasonable questions in unreasonable times. You thought that that was worthy of firing a guy, firing a great public servant, a great progressive, Van Jones, because he asked questions, reasonable questions, in unreasonable times that you did not approve of. Don't get me started. And don't get me started on Obama and Rahm Emanuel and those folks who allowed this to happen, who allowed him to be thrown under the bus. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that later. And Obama and what the hell he needs to do because he is screwing this thing up. Media reform. We're going to talk about that because that's what this is about. because jackasses like Glenn Beck get to go on the air and say any damn thing they want. I promise you, if I was on Fox News, if I had been on Fox News over the last year, two, four, yeah, Dick Cheney would be in jail. We're going to talk about that right around now. Kevin Zeese is joining us. He's the executive director and co-founder of VotersForPeace.us and a board member of VelvetRevolution.us. And by way of full disclosure, myself, BradBlog.com, is a co-founder of Velvet Revolution. He has led our jointly launched effort, along with Voters for Peace, DisbarTortureLawyers.com. DisbarTortureLawyers.com. Kevin is also an attorney. He's a long-term peace advocate. Took a leave of absence from Voters for Peace for most of 2006 while running for the U.S. Senate in Maryland. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Kevin.
Thanks for having me on. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. By the way, you ran. Did you run as a Democrat or an independent for U.S. Senate?
I ran actually as a combination of a Green Party, Libertarian Party, and Party and Populist Party. All three parties nominated me.
No wonder you lost.
No doubt about it.
That'll teach
Maryland.
You.
Maryland's a solidly Democrat state, as blue as can be.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk to David Swanson in the next hour about how we can get some more Greens and Progressives and Libertarians and anybody at this rate,
David's
but the Republicans.
David's a good guy. He is a good guy.
He is a good guy indeed. He may have signed that. Did you sign that 9/11 truth statement that got Van Jones fired?
I may have. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's totally possible.
Yeah. Well.
They are pretty pushy, those 9/11 truth people. Yeah.
I guess that makes you a dangerous person as well. Better keep you away from the president.
Van Jones is a good guy. It's a shame to see him knocked out, and shows a kind of weakness on Obama's part that the right wing will definitely bore into. He has given them an invitation.
He certainly has, and as Beck himself said, that Van Jones is just the tip of the iceberg.
I think he should be ashamed
of himself. Barack Obama should. All right, speaking of shame, DisbarTortureLawyers.com. Give us a brief idea, a quick idea, what that campaign is, and then we're going to find out how it's going, and then we'll broaden it out a bit.
Great. It's basically an effort to hold the people accountable who are responsible for this torture program occurring. Without the lawyers involved who put their law licenses in front of pretty obviously false memoranda that allowed waterboarding and all sorts of other torture, this torture program under Bush Cheney would never have happened. There was a lot of debate in the Department of Defense and in the CIA. People were afraid of violating the Geneva Conventions and the Convention Against Torture. And these lawyers coming out and saying that torture isn't torture essentially gave these folks license to go forward with this program. If it had not been for these lawyers, we wouldn't have seen those pictures in Abu Ghraib. We wouldn't have seen the stories of Gitmo. We wouldn't see what's going on in Bagram now. I mean, so these torture lawyers really were key facilitators, and they should be held accountable. And that's what this campaign's about. It's holding them accountable.
And they should. As far as I'm concerned, there was a lot of what they did, frankly, was criminal, but you and I, we can't bring a criminal action. We can bring a civil action, or we can bring a, in this case, a disbarment complaint. It seems to me this is about as, frankly, these guys, and we're talking about John Yoo, Jay Bybee, who is now a federal judge with a lifetime appointment, Gonzalez.
Michael Chertoff, John Ashcroft,
right.
Alberto Gonzalez, Michael Mukasey. The hit list goes from the Attorney General down to the low-level lawyers in the Department of Justice, the White House lawyers who made this all possible.
Yeah, and they would be getting off, in my opinion, pretty damn easy if all they got was disbarred, frankly. And we're talking about I think we have about 12 attorneys now on this list at this time.
It's actually 15. We had the second group of filings. Two of them were actually lawyers. The second group was CIA lawyers mainly, and two of them were lawyers that Obama kept on the payroll and allowed to continue work for the federal government. So,
and they're still there now?
Yeah, they're still there now, and we'd like to see them removed. And it's as I said, this is really without these folks playing their role, the people who were involved, who now are being investigated by the special prosecutor, the few cases that he's looking into, they wouldn't have happened without lawyers signing off on them, and the lawyers need to be held accountable.
Well, I think it's debatable whether they would have happened or not, because in fact, the torture began before they even put out these phony justifying memos that allowed torture. But
that's right. But what happened before the memos was they would call the White House every day. Are we allowed to do this? They'd call the CIA. CIA general counsel every day. Are we allowed to do this? Mm-hmm. And so they got approval from lawyers, but not the Department of Justice memos. You're right. They came a little later.
Okay, I got you. Now, so it's last I checked, I think it was five or six different states and the D.C. Bar, where you've actually applied to have their licenses removed or reprimanded by the bar associations in the particular state, correct?
That's right.
Now, all right, two questions along those lines. First, have we heard back from any of these bar associations? Are these investigations moving forward? And then secondly, I'll fold this question in as well. Let me let you answer that one, and then I'll go to that second question.
Well, there definitely are investigations going forward. We've received some correspondence from some of the bars. Some of the lawyers who we've filed against have had attorneys respond, and we've responded back, and so the process begins. This bar association phase, where they're doing their own internal investigation, is kind of like a grand jury process. It's kept secret until they make a decision. When they make a decision to go forward or not go forward, then it can become public, and then there can be actually public hearings. People can appeal decisions, and they can be so we can actually see this go to levels that will bring more information out. And that's really our hope is that we see this as a step in the direction of holding people accountable. We don't see the ending of the bar, taking away their bar, reprimanding them for their decisions to to use their license to facilitate torture as first steps. We don't see those as final steps. We see those as opening the door up so citizens can take action. And people can go to disbartorturelawyers.com and join us and sign on to the complaints, and they can review all the complaints. They can see the various documents. You would not believe the documents we filed. It's hundreds of pages of materials documenting what went on. This torture program has been, a lot of memos have gotten leaked, emails have gotten leaked. There's been reports by the Red Cross and others, and so there's a lot of information out there. There's no question we were involved, the United States was involved in a widespread torture program, probably involving thousands of people being tortured.
Okay, now, I believe, and I think most reasonable, serious people do, that torture is illegal, that we have a lot of laws, we have international treaties we've signed, and according to the U.S. Constitution, the international treaties are the supreme law of our land as well.
That's right.
But here's my question, Kevin Zeiss from VelvetRevolution.us and Voters for Peace. They've argued that this is about policy differences. I believe we can throw that out because I believe they're wrong. I believe the law shows that they're wrong and the torture is in violation of the law. That said, what is the complaint here when an attorney gives his legal opinion? Now, he might be wrong. He might give bad advice. But can you disbar an attorney for simply being wrong about the law in the argument that he makes, as John Yoo and Bybee and so forth did in these legal memos?
Yes. I mean, I think you're right, first, on your premise that there's no question that torture is illegal. And the Convention Against Torture, which has also got federal laws that implement it, the Convention Against Torture, which was signed by President Reagan, no less. So not like, signed by Jimmy Carter.
Right.
President Reagan signed this, and it was a law that provided no excuses. You could be in a war. You could be in a threat of war. You could be civil disturbance. No excuses. And orders from a higher-up provide no excuse. Legal memos provide no protection. The law, the Convention Against Torture, is so crystal clear, and they define torture very clearly.
Right.
Any psychological or bodily injury. So the reason why these opinions, so-called opinions, are wrong, are actionable, is because they were not even close to what the law required. The law said no torture. Define torture clearly. These guys started by redefining torture. You can't redefine torture that's defined in the law and in treaties by a legal memo.
But Kevin, can't they?
It wasn't an opinion. It was a false shield. It was a cover for breaking the law and committing war crimes.
So you feel that when they say, torture is illegal, so instead of doing torture, do this, that, and this, and they redefine torture so that you can do it.
Right.
You feel that they were being disingenuous. They knew what they were doing, and for that, they deserve disbarment.
No question. If you look also at the emails between Department of Justice and White House and within the Department of Justice. There's a lot of emails that show there's a lot of pressure from the White House where those memos, not only implicating the vice president and pushing that, but also the president bringing up with Alberto Gonzalez where those memos, they were being pushed to put these memos. was out. There's dissension in the Department of Justice right from the outset with high-level career people at DOJ warning the Attorney General this will come back and haunt us.
We're speaking with Kevin Zeese from the DisbarTortureLawyers.com campaign. Please check that out and please sign on. We're going to take a quick break, come back to your calls. Phil in Cleveland actually thinks that prosecuting Cheney would be suicide for Dems. Really? All right, we're going to find out about that, and we'll try to get as many calls as we can. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Malloy, live on Labor Day. Much more straight ahead.
You've been living hell to me. You galled at me since 1963.
All right, San Quentin, can we please send Dick Cheney there? Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy live on Labor Day night. Does that make it Labor Night? I don't know. I was going to go to Mark in New York, but I will go to Phil in a second. Speaking with Kevin Zeese of Voters for Peace and Velvet Revolution about the DisbarTortureLawyers.com campaign. Kevin, let me get him back. See, I still have to figure out how to do these phones. All right, there we got Kevin. Kevin, you want to take a quick call here? We only have another minute or two. All right, bringing in Phil from Cleveland. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, Phil?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy Labor Day.
Thank you, sir. And you?
I'm not bad. All right. The thing I wanted to know is that you honestly think it would be a good thing to, for the Democrats electorally to pursue a path that would prosecute Dick Cheney and put him in jail?
Well, I'm going to get Kevin's thoughts on this, but let me give you mine very quickly.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing for America to do the right thing. I don't give a damn about the Democrats electorally. That said, yes, I think standing up, showing a spine would be real damn good for Democrats. Your thoughts, Kevin?
Yeah, I look at it from the question of what's good for the country, and the fact that we now have essentially a de facto the rule that presidents, vice presidents, lawyers, and other policymakers can go ahead and violate treaties and federal statutes and commit war crimes, including torture. Having that as a de facto rule, we're not going to prosecute you, we're not going to hold you accountable, is very dangerous for the future of the country. And that's what's got to be corrected. As far as Democrats, I'm not really a partisan in this. I'm a nonpartisan person. I don't really like the corporate Democrat Party or the corporate Republican Party, the war party of both arms of the two war parties. It doesn't do it for me. So my focus is what's best for the country, and what's best for the country is to hold war criminals accountable.
I concur. Phil does not. Why, what do you think, Phil? Why is it not good for Democrats?
From my point of view, I think if Obama would have campaigned on, we're going to throw Cheney in jail, we're going to throw these guys in jail, I don't think he would have won. And from your point of view, then I would say, would it be good for the country if the election were vice versa?
Well, what's changed since the election, Phil?
I'm not saying if Obama or the Democrats were to, you know, keep campaigning on the fact in November that they would want to throw Dick Cheney in jail if elected, do you think they would have won? Because, I mean, you have to admit, this is a moderate country.
Yeah.
The center is what you need to win.
What do you mean this is a moderate country? This is a country that does not believe in the rule of law?
I'm not saying that. I mean, whether or not you believe that Dick Cheney should be in jail, if you look at it from a wide perspective. I mean, we're in a single-member district plurality system with two large parties. They fight for the center.
Are you saying that the center does not believe in the rule of law, Phil?
I think that the center, whether or not they believe in the rule of law, wouldn't be very, very much for the fact of trying to put Dick Cheney in jail.
Let me tell you,
if Obama had released the photos showing the extent of the torture program, you would hear a public clamor for prosecution of these criminals. hiding those photos held back public opinion and kept people misinformed so that you can still get across this nonsense that's a few bad apples on the bottom, when in fact it was a policy at the top that affected thousands of people, not just a few people in a couple of prisons, but in many, many sites around the country. If people had been educated about the truth, we'd be having the public supporting prosecution of Dick Cheney. And Dick Cheney has been acting like a criminal, going back to the scene of the crime, wiping up the scene of the crime, hiding his fingerprints, because he knows he's in danger of prosecution if the facts come out.
You're right, he has. Phil, thanks for the call. I think that, yeah, you know, even if you go back to 2004, the polls said the American people supported impeachment investigations.
That's right.
If George Bush broke the law.
That's
we're
right.
You know, we're going to talk more about this, I suspect, in the next hour with David Swanson. But, you know,
David's a great advocate for this. I hope you do discuss with him. He's one of the best out there.
Well, look, if we won't stand up for the rule of law,
that's
if
right.
we sit around and allow Republicans to claim they care about the rule of law when they're in power, or even when they're not in power, but then they actually don't do anything about it, then I think we lose all of our moral standing. We lose it in the world.
That's the point, Brad. That's exactly it. If we don't care about it, we don't do something about it, then we're at fault. That's why we set up, you know, disbartorturelawyers.com, votersforpeace.us. You can go to those sites, get involved, sign up, join the fight. We need to have people involved to make this happen. Obama's not going to do this without being pushed by the public. And he said, hold me accountable. Well, it's time to get involved. Votersforpeace.us, disbartorturelawyers.com.
Thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. All you're doing out there.
Okay.
And sorry I had to push you back for this Van Jones thing.
Van's a good guy. All right.
Thank you, brother. All Kevin right. Zeese, votersforpeace.us, velvetrevolution.us, and yes, disbartorturelawyers.com. Accountability matters, says me, Brad, in for Malloy. More after this. Weekend. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, live from amongst the charred and blackened hills of Los Angeles, where the fires have been unbelievable over the past week. I suspect we'll be talking about that with Desi Doyen, my co-host on the Green News Report, tomorrow. What's that? You don't know the Green News Report? That's because your station ain't playing it. Why? I don't know. Call them and ask them. Anyway, we are here live. We're doing it live. F it! We're doing it live on Labor Day, and we will take your calls along with David Swanson, who will be joining us hopefully momentarily this hour. 877-520-1150. Let's see. Swanson, no, he might be late. All right. Well, we will check on that in a moment. You know, frankly, I didn't even have enough time in the previous hour to really shove it up Mr. Beck's hindquarters as I would have liked to. Nor was I able to shove it up the hindquarters of the folks in this administration, like Rahm Emanuel, like Barack Obama, who have, let's see, to quote Rush Limbaugh, bent over and grabbed their ankles. Because the Fox News thought police said it was wrong to ask questions about 9/11. You're not allowed to do that. Yes, Glenn Beck will warn you. He'll tell you. He'll say, we ask reasonable questions here in unreasonable times. He'll even quote Thomas Jefferson and urge his listeners and viewers to question with boldness. He doesn't often read the full quote from Thomas Jefferson. That full quote, by the way, question with boldness even the existence of God. Because if there be one, he must more approve the homage of reason than that of blindfolded fear. Now, what if Van Jones had asked with boldness, had questioned with boldness about the existence of God? Would that have gotten him run out of the administration by Glenn Beck? What if he had asked about the existence of God on Fox News? Imagine what would have happened in that case. Definitely going to talk about this more in the third hour, because the fact that Obama did not stand up for one of the few progressives that he bothered to put in his administration. Jane Hampshire wrote at Fire Dog Lake, if there is going to be a serious progressive movement in this country capable of standing up for health care against an industry that spends $1.4 million a day on lobbying, we can't just look to the members of the Progressive Caucus in Congress and say, hey, you, get something done. No, they need cover. They need to know that they will be supported, she writes. And people like Van Jones, who have given their lives to causes we say we value, like prison reform and environmental advocacy, need to know that they will be defended and not handed over to Glenn Beck as an acceptable casualty in the battle for K Street dollars. Because that's exactly what happened. And when you heard the caller in the last hour saying, well, I don't know if we should bring Cheney to task, that would hurt Democrats electorally. Are you kidding me? You do the right thing. You follow the rule of law. You follow the Constitution. If you're so damned worried about keeping your party in power, you may as well be a Republican. And by the way, that quote from Jane Hampshire over at Fire Dog Lake, I noticed, was also quoted right now over at BuzzFlash.com, where our friend Mark Carlin, I was chatting with earlier, and talks about they're having a tough time right now raising funds because they're being so critical, he writes, of Obama's centrist strategy. And that's what the caller was calling in about in the previous hour. We got a lot of centrists out here. So apparently centrists don't believe in the rule of law. Well, I believe they do. I believe doing the right thing and bringing accountability to these guys is the center of this country. And I believe we need to thank folks who are saying that out loud. Whether it's Jane Hampshire over at Fire Dog Lake, who's been fighting like hell for proper health care reform. Whether it's Mark Carlin over at BuzzFlash.com. Media isn't free. You got to support the progressive media. You got to support those people who are standing up for the right thing and who aren't buying into the centrist BS. There is no center. Getting worked up on Labor Day. Maybe David Swanson will help me out. He joins us. There we go. Okay, we do got him. He joins us now. David Swanson. Oh, let me. David, I got. Hang on. Just wait. Wait right there, David. There we go. Okay. Wanted to get the proper notes for you because you deserve it, since you, David, are now a best-selling author of the new book, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. It was out just last week from Seven Stories Press, and I'm happy to say it displaced Glenn Beck, at least for a day or so, on the Amazon.com bestseller list. David shot to number one, displaced the liar and the charlatan and the political terrorist Glenn Beck. So David Swanson, he's also the creator of AfterDowningStreet.org, and too much more to get into for the moment. David Swanson, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, my friend.
Wonderful to be here, Brad. I've been listening. You're right on, as always.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that I had to eat into your time there, but man, has this irked me, I got to tell you. And, I hope that you'll have some answers for us from your book, David Swanson. It is, I haven't gotten to read it all yet, but I started to peruse it a week or so ago when you were kind enough to send me a copy. From as far as I can tell, David, this book is a remarkable achievement. You have taken the last 4 years, perhaps the last 8 years, of so much of what the blogosphere has been talking about, trying to get out there, you know, been ignored for so many years by the mainstream media, the corporate media, and you put it down on paper. And, well, I'll have more nice things to say here but in a second about this, but bringing all this together and saying we need to undo the imperial presidency in the bargain, I guess we have to start by asking, well, what is the imperial presidency as you see it, David?
Well, part of what I look at, and the bulk of the book, is how do we envision what we want and how do we get there and how do we make changes. But part of the book is looking at the situation we're in, and a big theme of it is the incredible acceleration during the past 8 years of the transfer of powers to the White House, powers that belonged in the Congress and in some cases in the courts and in the hands of we the people. Mm-hmm. And it's not a new thing. It's a very long ongoing process since George Washington was president, but incredible acceleration, so that now presidents make laws with signing statements and executive orders and secret memos and 8 other ways. And we think of presidents as making laws, and we complain that the new president isn't writing the health care law instead of letting Congress do it. Presidents make wars. Presidents, we think of presidents as having the power to decide when to end wars and begin new wars, and we just launch strikes without calling it a war. Presidents decide how to raise and spend money and who to give it to. And we don't think of Congress as having the authority to decide where and how and when we spend money. We have presidents now make treaties, and not just treaties, but treaties of war. A treaty with Iraq for 3 more years of war without any ratification by the Senate. And these abuses and these powers that were seized by Bush and Cheney are not being given back by Obama, and that would be unprecedented. That would require a saint, but the Congress isn't taking them back either. And we're seeing claims of secrecy that Dick Cheney never dreamed of from the new administration, and Congress barely fighting back. And so I think, you know, if we're going to have a government that represents us, it's going to be through the Congress. It's going to take a heck of a lot of work and a lot of cleaning up the Congress. But it's not going to be through one president, and to leave all of these powers in the hands of every future president is just suicidal.
I concur, but I'm worried about what happens when the Congress doesn't seem to give a damn either, because it seems like, oh, we got our guy in, he's a Democrat now, so everything's okay. I would argue, and I suspect you, David Swanson, would probably argue, no, it's not okay, and so we're going to talk about how you then hold Congress accountable to get these powers back to the more representative body that is Congress, that represents the people. Speaking with David Swanson, Brad Friedman in for Malloy. We'll try to take your calls this hour. David's going to be with us for the whole hour. 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150, and we're going to get you on a landline. I think you're in the middle of your book tour, David. Thanks for taking the time out here while you're on the road from Ohio, right? Somewhere in Ohio?
I'm in Ohio on a cell phone, but I'm at a landline, so if you want to switch, let's do it.
We'll do that right during the break. Brad in for Malloy. Stick with us. To the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Malloy, speaking with David Swanson of the best-selling, I like to say that, best-selling author of Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency, Forming a More Perfect Union, was just came out last week. I urge you to buy it. I urge you to support it. I urge you to send the message that progressive books matter. No, we don't have these houses buying up hundreds and thousands of these books to catapult guys like David Swanson to number one on the New York Times bestseller list the way Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and Ann Coulter have. We got to do it the honest way, and we don't even have a TV show, an entire TV network, and a radio network to push it the way Glenn Beck is able to do. So, David Swanson, that was a remarkable achievement, climbing to number one on your first day out last week, my friend.
Yeah, I hope some of those people bought the book because they wanted the book and didn't just want to knock Glenn Beck out of first place. But that was a great thing. And
that was a great incentive.
Very, yes, indeed. And it's a horrible, horrible book he's written. Actually, somebody wrote it for him, I believe. It's Glenn Beck with Joseph Carey or something like that. But, you know, very well said. And the honest way also includes buying it and then writing a review and putting that on all the bookseller websites.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody reads it and buys it. So I appreciate all your help, Brad.
Well, let's talk about my help. We ran a review over at our site, and I know you so well that I thought, well, let me stay out of it and let someone else review it. The vice president of the
Center for Constitutional Rights.
Thank you, sir. He reviewed it and said that he gave a good review, but he said that, David, you say that the Congress is the more representative body. They need to take back that the power from the president. But he was critical slightly by saying, you don't explain how. What do you do if the Congress doesn't behave either? Then what, David?
Well, I do explain that at great length in the book. I think Peter's complaint was that I didn't explain why you could possibly reform Congress and you couldn't possibly reform the president. And I think that's a typical American complaint is, you know, but, you know, how can we fix up 435 or 535 corrupt people when we could just fix one, a superhero, and then give him all the power as a benevolent dictator to just give us everything we want and ignore the Congress? Wouldn't that be so much easier? My congressman's such a bum, and now I can lobby the president, and he loves me. And I think that these are, you know, this is not how Peter thinks, I'm sure, but this is how many Americans think.
That's Peter Weiss at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think you know, it's an absolute fantasy to imagine that we can lobby one individual as effectively as we can lobby 535 people spread around the country, which we can do very easily. This morning I was at a Labor Day parade here in Ohio, and I spoke with Congresswoman Betty Sutton, and I said, will you vote no on any bill that doesn't have a public option? And she gave me a hem and a haw and a fudge and a, you know, I love a public option. We must have a public option. I said, is that a yes? Are you going to commit to this? And I had to ask her three times, and she did. And she said, I will vote no unless it has a public option. And then I asked her, well, why did you co-sponsor John Conyers' bill for single-payer health coverage in the last Congress, but not in this one, not when it's an actual live issue and could make a difference?
Right.
And she feeds me a line about how, well, I can do more on the committee if I'm not co-sponsoring a good bill, which, as far as I know, makes absolutely no sense.
I could do more on the committee. Oh, she's saying that it, she can change the other bill if she's not a sponsor of the single-payer bill? Is that what she's trying to...
That's what she's saying. Makes absolutely no sense to me. And obviously we know that the president and the leadership have told them not to support single-payer, and she is obediently doing so. I barely got to trying to ask why she voted for the war supplement. She's coming back to Ohio next weekend for a funeral of a soldier. And is there going to be anybody there who asks her why in June she voted for more money to fund the deaths of more soldiers? Here she goes off on this Labor Day parade throwing bubble gum at the parade watchers. Is anybody asking her these questions? And are the activist groups who are organized to work on these issues
even asking the questions.
That's what the activists have to do. I got to get it to a hard break here. We'll pick this up after the break. Speaking with David Swanson, give us a shout, 877-520-1150. What to do when your congresswoman man isn't paying attention? Put a Republican in instead? Really? Brad, in for Malloy, more after this. To the Mike Malloy Show, live on Labor Day night. The sun is setting out here in the west. Beautiful out there tonight, although you can still see some of the smoke out in the distance from the fires in the Angeles National Forest. Largest fire in the history of L.A. County. It has been burning for a week. Firefighters suspect it's going to keep going for another week or so, but they do have it under control. The temperatures have gotten a lot cooler out here in Los Angeles, where I, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, am sitting in all week for Malloy. Check out the new chat tool over at bradblog.com for show purposes only. While the show is up and rolling, we've got a lively conversation going on in there. Go check it out at bradblog.com. Participate. Doing my best to keep an eye on that. And you can give us a call. We will take them this hour for David Swanson, who is with us for the rest of the hour. 877-520-1150. Next hour, we're going to be talking more about Van Jones and how ticked off I am at everybody on that. And tomorrow night, CIA, 27-year CIA analyst, Ray McGovern will be joining us, as will Mike Rogers for a big gay hour. And I believe Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org will be joining us to talk about who is now going to be counting almost every vote in America. Hint, it's no longer going to be Diebold. And that's not good news, by the way. All right, David Swanson is still with us here, author of the new book, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency. You may know him from afterdowningstreet.org. He also wrote the introduction to the 35 Articles of Impeachment and the Case for Prosecuting George W. Bush that Dennis Kucinich introduced on the floor of the House, and all of the Democrats looked the other way, acted like there was nothing going on. These aren't the droids you're looking for. What do you do, David Swanson, when the Democrats you talk about in Congress, the ones who need to be held accountable, who need to hold the president accountable, who need to take back the imperial powers that Bush usurped for himself? What do you do when those Democrats don't do the right thing? Throw them out? Put in a Republican?
No, that would not be my proposal. Throw them out would be fine.
Uh-huh.
And obviously we need reforms that make it possible to throw them out.
Well, we've got a two-party system, as you know. If it's not a Democrat, it's going to be a Republican, David.
Well, I want to change that system.
Me
I also
too.
Want to change the Democrats, and primaries are a good place to do that. But I also want to take a lot of emphasis off elections, because our job as citizens begins primarily the day after an election, and who is in there does not determine how they act. What we do to them while they are in there, above all, determines how they act. And we've a lot of progressives for the past 7-8 months have had an attitude that I think would appropriately have followed a coup, not an election. Following an election, your responsibility, your respectful responsibility, there's nothing inappropriate or disrespectful about it, is to tell them clearly how you want them to represent you. And we have a president who goes out and quotes FDR asking us to tell him and to force him to do what needs to be done. I don't know if he means that or not, but that is right.
Yeah, he says, make me do it. Make me do it.
He says, get out there and make me do it. Well, I don't know if he means that, but it is absolutely right, absolutely appropriate, and he's asking us, and we're still not doing it. Actually, we're starting to. People are starting to come around, not because they figured out that they should have been doing their duty as citizens in a democracy starting back in November, but because they're disappointed. And they're overly disappointed because they expected way too much from an election all by itself. Elections alone do not change anything. And when you think they will, you're guaranteed to be very, very excited and then very, very disappointed. And I'm starting to get encouraged. I'm finally a little bit hopeful. As everybody else is facing despair, because I think a lot of people who are now disappointed are going to stay active. They're not going to go crawl under their beds. They're now going to do what we should have been doing all along, and that is using the media, building the media, using citizen activism, lobbying, phone calling, emailing, faxing, sitting in, demonstrating, street theater, putting our bodies on the line, going to jail, and doing what has to be done in a civilized nation, especially one with such a corrupted election system, to get these people to represent us.
Well, I'm glad you're encouraged. And I know you wrote about that over at your own personal site today, davidswanson.org. I'm not quite as encouraged, and we're going to get to the phones in a second. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. If you have a question for David Swanson on any of this, pretty broad topic here we're covering because it's a pretty huge book. But I'm not as encouraged, and I'll tell you why. You talked about elections and reforming elections. And as you know, that's a big point for me, and I thank you for covering it in some detail in the book. but the media, the bad guys still own the media. And when we look at the White House website, the day of the inauguration, I ran at BradBlog, a very encouraging story I saw there on the website. It was just a little squib, but it said that one of the things they were going to encourage... One of their new ideas was to encourage diversity in the ownership of broadcast media, promote the development of new media outlets for expression of diverse viewpoints, and clarify the public interest obligations of broadcasters who occupy the nation's spectrum. I was very encouraged by that, David, but in looking at this Glenn Beck, the control that these guys have over the media, I went back to that page. Guess what? The page is there. That paragraph is now gone, David.
I believe it. There have been many similar changes on the White House website, as on the transition website and the campaign website, and there have been many promises broken and cast aside, and many promises that were never made that people fantasized had been. But we aren't going to get change from a president. We're not going to get change from just electing a president. If we're going to get it, we're going to get it through Congress. And there is a chicken and egg problem. We have to fix the media and all of these other systemic breakdowns, but we also have to be active now, and we can be, and we can succeed. Much harder things have been done than what we're talking about here. I think the media is the number one excuse for inaction and wrong action by Congress members. They will always tell you they're afraid of being attacked by the media. I think the president's current approach is absolutely disastrous. You don't give someone like Glenn Beck what he demands and assume that he's going to now like you and then stop similar demands. He's putting out requests for help, researching his list of targets for the next set of heads he's going to demand on a platter.
So the
all defense all the time strategy is not going to work, but that applies to us as activists as well.
Well, you know, a caller asks, and apparently he's doesn't want to come on the air, but he asks if we are aware, maybe he means am I aware, that Bush is no longer president. Well, I'm aware that he's no longer president, but I haven't seen a lot of change in the policies, and I haven't seen the Congress holding his feet to the fire. We're trying to hold feet to the fire, but it goes around and around, Dave. It's very discouraging.
I'm not sure I agree with the caller. I mean, in what sense is Bush no longer president? If Bush were in his third term now, we would still be in Iraq without any sort of withdrawal. We would be expanding and escalating in Afghanistan. We would be continuing the policy he began of these strikes into Pakistan.
Right.
We would have laws being rewritten with signing statements and created with executive orders. We would have a defense of these laws by secret memos.
Mm-hmm.
We would have documents released only at the last minute that courts required it, with huge sections redacted. We would have a bad apple strategy for prosecuting past crimes, picking off some of the lowest employees and granting immunity to higher-ups. We would be cementing in place this idea of preventive detentions. We would be expanding claims of state secrecy to block court cases and maintain immunity. We would be seeing in broad form exactly what we're seeing now, except that there would be an anti-war movement. There would be a peace and justice movement. They wouldn't have defunded them because Bush would still be in the White House. Now, I'm not wishing he was, and I'm not saying there's nothing that's changed for the better, but in terms of the broad picture of presidential power and abuse, not much has changed.
Dorian in the chat, and bravo. Dorian in the chat room says the only way we can begin, this is in the bradblog.com chat room, the only way we can begin to clean up corruption is with campaign finance reform, and Dorian says it will not happen. I tend to agree, well, at least with the first part, that campaign finance reform is needed big time in a big way. If we decide that it will not happen, then yeah, I guess it won't. But if we do something about it, if we raise enough hell, it will happen. But we have got to not roll over on ourselves. Pat in St. Joseph, Missouri, my home state, has a similar thought here. Welcome, Pat, to the Mike Malloy Show. Have a question for David Swanson.
Yes, I've been listening as a former government teacher. This has been very interesting to me. But I really think that, yes, we can lobby our congressman, but we have one here that it wouldn't matter what we did. He wouldn't listen to anything. I think what we need to do is push hard to redo the redistricting, gerrymandering, etc. You know, in the old days, you could have 125 seats back and forth in every 2 years. But I think as long as congressmen don't have to worry about getting reelected, then it's going to be very hard to get them to listen.
Well,
to
who, first off, who does that redistricting, though, Pat?
Well, see, that's right. That's right. We have to change to a system maybe similar to what Iowa does or whatever. We've got to take redistricting out of the hands of the politicians. You know, it's like having a game and letting your, you know, the people playing the game make up the rules. You know, that's crazy. And that's exactly what's happening.
Well, and I want to let David have at this in a second. But, you know, Pat, if... let's say we do redistricting somehow, the states are able to figure out how to do this fairly. If you don't get the money, the corporate money, out of the campaigns, as Dorian had mentioned in the chat room, ultimately what has redistricting done if this, you know, is still a corporatocracy, which is really what we've got here, Pat?
Well, I agree with that, too. I mean, you are right. I mean, it takes... And the problem with that is, though, we get all that money out, and then I've seen this before, I've been involved in politics, then you end up with really the grassroots type people have little chance to win either, because oftentimes it takes a lot of money for the grassroots person to get a shot at it. So, you know, I really don't have a good answer for that either.
I don't know,
unless we publicly finance.
Public financing sounds good to me. Thanks for that call, Pat, and take care of my precious Missouri, my friend. David Swanson, we got to get to a break. 30-second thought on that. We'll pick it up on the other side.
We may see a ruling in the Supreme Court on Wednesday that makes the campaign finance issue much, much worse, and whether that helps us turn it around and make it better remains to be seen. The redistricting is something I actually agree with Glenn Beck on, he scatters decent proposals through with all the insane ones in his book, remarkably making the insane ones sound sensible, and he's gung-ho against campaign finance reform, of course, but all of those people who are buying that book and lapping it up are for, because they take orders, they are for cleaning up this bipartisan redistricting disaster, and if we could mobilize them into action together with the rest of the sane population that also wants to clean that one up, I think it would be a good place to start.
David Swanson, author of Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. It's just out. It's fresh. Go buy it. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. One more segment with David. We'll take your calls, 877-520-1150. And then all calls next hour. We'll open up the lines. Get in line. Show Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy, speaking with David Swanson. Just a few more minutes here, then we're going to open the lines wide up after I have a word or two to say about Mr. Glenn Beck and about so-called progressives who will do anything really for Barack Obama, for Rahm Emanuel, because, well, we'll talk about it next hour. Give us a call, 877-520-1150, if you want to get in on that. Or a question for David Swanson, author of Daybreak. This thing just out. And, David, I know you're in Ohio, right? Did you see the president today, by the way, out there?
I was not in Cincinnati. I was glad to see the president mention both the public option and the Employee Free Choice Act down there.
He mentioned it. Mentioned it. Not much more than that. Look,
no, nothing more than that. And absolutely useless. And I just have to say, if these people were serious, they would throw out the filibuster rule. They would pass a complete progressive agenda in a month. They would pass the Employee Free Choice Act, build a serious labor movement, come back in a couple of years and pass single-payer health care. I mean, they are keeping in place a rule that allows senators who represent 12% of us to block all legislation by both houses. Why? Because they want to have that anti-democratic tool if the Republicans get back in power. And why will the Republicans get back in power? Because the Democrats are leaving the filibuster rule in place and doing nothing, and it's making people very, very angry.
Rick in Los Angeles has a thought on campaign finance reform, as we talked about. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Yeah. Well, just one point, and I want to get one point in on this subject. I think campaign finance reform really should have led the deck this year after the economy. I don't think any progressive reform has a hope of being passed the way the deck is stacked right now.
Thanks for the call, Rick. I got to get to a break here, so okay. Thanks for the call. You know, how do you get campaign finance reform from the people who are dependent on that money for their campaign finances, David?
We make it harder for them to ignore us than to listen to us, and we do it at the state levels too, and we do it step by step if we have to. We do it for judges, we do it for Congress members, but we have to do it, and we can do it, and we've done much harder things, but we have to push other agenda items as well.
We do. This is a tough fight. Anyone who thought it ended with the election of Barack Obama has another thing coming to him. David Swanson, you have been fighting this long fight for a long time. I suspect you'll keep doing it for a long time. And your book, 20, 30, 40 years from now, if the Rush Limbaughs and the Glenn Becks are still on the air, if they're not in jail or in insane asylums, I hope they will be cursing your book and your name, David Swanson, because you spell it out in this book about what the hell we all have to do to rise up and to take our country back and to stop being fooled by, well, anybody.
Thank you, brother. Keep up the great work, Brad.
Enjoy the rest of the tour. We look forward to seeing you when you get out here to Los Angeles. Thank you, David Swanson. Check out that book. We've got links over to it at bradblog.com. Find it, buy it, get it. take your country back. We're going to talk about more on that. Did I mention that? Have I mentioned the jerk Glenn Beck lately? This segment. Yeah. Okay. Much more on him and what progressives need to do to take their country back. Why are we still talking about this? 877-520-1150. Your calls all next hour. Would love to hear from you. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Malloy. Oh, stop by the chat room, too. We'll be back. Friedman of BradBlog.com in live on Labor Day night for Mike Malloy. Mike and Kathy are out taking the week off, and I'm delighted to sit in for them live all week long from Los Angeles. 877-520-1150. Do not, I repeat, do not call the Mike Malloy number, usually the one you would normally call. Call ours, 877-520-1150, broadcasting here from the lovely studios at K-Talk AM 1150 in beautiful, not downtown, well, yeah, downtown Burbank. I was going to say downtown Los Angeles, but downtown Burbank, amongst the charred hills and ruins of our once lovely county, which has now burnt down. But we're still here. All is well. Or is it? We talked about the, and I'm going to take as many of your calls as I can this hour, so get in line now. I want to talk about this, more about this Van Jones thing, this Glenn Beck thing, that liar, that reprehensible punk, Glenn Beck. Why is he a liar? I'll play you some more audio clips. Well, let's see. Let me get down to those clips right away, because he's a liar. And the fact that Barack Obama did not stand up for Van Jones, one of the very few progressives in the administration, in a pretty low-level job. By the way, he's not a czar. There is no green jobs czar. Get it straight, Fox News. Get it straight, CNN. He's an advisor, special advisor for green jobs, enterprise, and innovation at the White House Council on Environmental Quality. No, he is not a danger to the president. Glenn Beck. There's Glenn Beck. it's unbelievable. Taking a shot now at the FBI. Supposedly he supports law enforcement and our, you know, troops and those who serve our country. And then he has this to say about the FBI. Oh, nope, my mistake. Not you, Tony. That's me. They'll get him. All right. I think it's my computer.
How incompetent must the FBI be to let someone like Van Jones get this close to the president?
Oh, the FBI is incompetent because they let this dangerous man, this attorney, this Yale Law School graduate, get close to the president. Why? Why is he so dangerous, this Van Jones? Is it because he was asking reasonable questions in unreasonable times, because he signed a document along with 50 victims' family members who wanted to know what the hell happened on 9/11? He asked these reasonable questions in unreasonable times, as Glenn Beck likes
America,
to say.
America, if you want answers to reasonable questions in this unreasonable time, stand up. Come on, follow me.
We followed you, Glenn Beck. We followed you. We asked reasonable questions in unreasonable times, but you were just kidding, weren't you, Glenn? Because you weren't talking about Fox News-approved questions. You were talking about questions that you're okay with, that the Fox News thought police are okay with. After all of these years of Republican, radical, fringe nutballs like Glenn Beck telling us that, oh, Democrats, the thought police, the PC, you can't say this, you can't say that. What did Van Jones do that led to him leaving? He signed a petition that asked questions about the 9/11, the official story. Said, we want truthful answers to questions such as, and it listed off a lot of them. And guess what? Later on this week, we're going to be having a commissioner from the 9/11 commission, because it's the 8th anniversary coming up Friday. And I'm going to ask him some of these questions. These questions that Glenn Beck was so offended by. Let's see, here's one. Here's one that he put up, that he was just stunned. Why did the Secret Service allow Bush to complete his elementary school visit, apparently unconcerned about his safety or that of the school children? Outrageous! I can't believe! Can you... And this was when he highlighted, by the way, Beck did, on his show, on his shocking show. How were the FBI and CIA able to release the names and photos of the alleged hijackers within hours, as well as to visit houses, restaurants, and flight schools they were known to frequent? Can you believe Van Jones signed a statement that asked such an outrageous question? Oh my, and the FBI was so incompetent that they let this crazy man who signed that document along with victim family members, they let him near the president. Can you believe that?
How incompetent must the FBI be to let someone like Van Jones get this close to the president?
Oh, it's outrageous. But then Glenn Beck tells us to question boldly. He quotes Thomas Jefferson. Here's what he said.
I told you yesterday that there are three principles that this show is going to drum through in the next week. In fact...
Oh, by the way, this was before Van Jones resigned.
In fact, it may be our mantra for a very long time. Question with boldness. It's something that changed my life that Thomas Jefferson said. Question. Honest questioning. Question with boldness. Then the second step is, once you find the truth, whatever it is, hold to it.
Uh-huh.
Hold to the truth.
Okay.
And the third one, speak without fear.
Really?
If you truly ask what Thomas Jefferson called honest questions with a sincere heart,
uh-huh,
I have found that the answers in all aspects of your life may take you to a very uncomfortable place. Tonight, they're going to take you, and this week, they're going to take you to places that you don't want to go.
Really? Now, mind you, this was before, that was Glenn Beck, before he found that Van Jones had signed on to this document asking these outrageous questions, like why did the Secret Service allow Bush to complete his elementary school visit, apparently unconcerned about his safety or that of the school children? That's one of the outrageous questions, but you should feel safe in asking those questions. Really? Should you? Even if you work for the President of the United States? Even if Glenn Beck is on Fox News with a bully pulpit where real progressives aren't allowed, on the media where real progressives aren't allowed? Believe me, Mike Malloy, good luck finding Mike Malloy in most states, in most cities, in most towns. Good luck finding Randy Rhodes. Good luck finding Stephanie Miller. You want to find Glenn Beck? No problem. Rush Limbaugh? No problem at all. They own the airwaves. And the fact that they were able to use an electronic high-tech lynching to intimidate the Obama White House, to intimidate Rahm Emanuel, who's easily intimidated, by the way, chief of staff to the president. Apparently, he'll roll over for anything. And these guys think they're not coming for more? You think they're going to be happy now that they got their pound of flesh with Van Jones? Are you kidding? Oh, there's much more ahead. Don't worry. Glenn Beck has already told us there's more ahead.
Let me tell you something. Van Jones is the tip of the iceberg.
Did you hear that? Rahm Emanuel? Did you hear that, Barack Obama? Do you think giving them Van Jones is going to end this? Glenn Beck has already tweeted this weekend, send me everything you know about Cass Sunstein. Valerie Jarrett, oh, believe me, he's going after him for more. And it is no coincidence, by the way, that Van Jones was the co-founder of Color of Change. Color of Change is the organization that has called for a boycott, a successful boycott against Glenn Beck. 50 advertisers have dropped out of Glenn Beck's show. You need to speak up. Not just against Glenn Beck, but against Barack Obama, against the Democrats, against Rahm Emanuel, when they don't do the right thing, when they bend over. Y'all are out there fighting right now for a public option. Well, guess what? What the hell happened to the fight for single payer? Public option should have been the compromise position. Single payer is what the progressive position. The fallback is public option. Well, you threw over single payer. You said, okay, we'll take public option. And guess what? Now, the compromise position is getting rid of the public option. Hello, people. When are we going to wake up? Yeah. Let me take some calls. 877-520-1150. I'm going to do it when I get back. Tom in Nashville, you think I'm parsing Glenn Beck. All right, we'll hear from you after this break. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Ah, did I make you scramble, Tony? Yeah, wake up. Pay attention. It ain't over till it's over. Brad in for Malloy. Much more right after this. Ticked off at this whole Van Jones thing, this whole Glenn Beck thing, and not a Glenn Beck. We expect him to lie. I'm ticked off at the progressives who allowed this to happen. I'm ticked off at where are the public interest groups? Where are the progressive, the so-called progressive groups out there raising hell and telling Obama and Rahm Emanuel we're not going to stand for it? Well, they're not going to do that. Read Jane Hampshire over at Fire Dog Lake on this thing. I read a quote earlier from it. They are not standing up to their own. The progressives need to raise hell, need to stop cowering in fear, because there's more later. There's more coming. Do you think for a second, if Joe Biden had gone onto the Senate floor as vice president and told some Republican senator to go F himself, do you think they wouldn't be calling for his head? Imagine if they had outed a covert operative. Do you think they would be calling for his head? If Barack Obama had lied us into a war, do you think they would be calling for his head? If Barack Obama had imprisoned some guy for 16 days without charges, as John Ashcroft did, held him, detained him, without arresting him, just saying that he's a material witness, but he happened to be a Christian or something, do you suppose they would be calling for his head? Of course they would. Well, that's exactly what happened in this decision with Al Kidd versus Ashcroft that I haven't even gotten to get into. But I'm hoping to, because the Ninth Circuit Court has ruled that, yes, you can sue John Ashcroft for falsely imprisoning, essentially, someone after 9/11, a U.S. citizen, never told anybody he was a U.S. citizen, said, oh, he's a terrorist. He's got a name. Al Kidd is his name. He must be a terrorist. Well, the Ninth Circuit Court, in a decision by a panel all appointed by Republican presidents, said that we find this to be repugnant to the Constitution and a painful reminder of some of the most ignominious chapters of our national history. I'll try to get to more of that when I can, but the phones are filling up here. And I do want to get your thoughts on this, especially those folks who disagree with me. Tom in Nashville, Tennessee, welcome to the Malloy Show. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Brad, how are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
Hey, I think I'm going to disagree with you as far as I think you're using the fact that Van Jones signed a petition. I guess it was the 9/11 Truthers or something along that regard.
Right.
That's not what he was focusing on. I don't think that's what.
What was he focusing on?
I think it's probably more of his radical affiliations.
Did you watch Glenn Beck this week?
I've seen it quite often.
And what radical associations would that be? Because let me just give you a real quick list. Let's see. He was he founded the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights in 1996. Uh-huh. In 2005, he co-founded Color of Change, an advocacy group for African Americans. He founded Green for All in 2007, a national NGO dedicated to building an inclusive green economy strong enough to lift people out of poverty. He had a best-selling book. It reached number 12 in the New York Times bestsellers. 2008, Time Magazine named him one of its environmental heroes. Fast Company called him one of the 12 most creative minds of 2008. So what are those radical associations, Tom?
Wouldn't Storm be one?
And what about it?
As I understand it, it is certainly far left-leaning, and not that there's anything wrong
as far
with that.
As far left-leaning as the Heritage Foundation is far right-leaning, as far left-leaning as Fox News is right-leaning, as far left-leaning as Eric Prince, the head of Blackwater, who was lauded by Mike Pence. Mike Pence, by the way, also shares your feeling that Van Jones is some form of a radical, but he supported, he threw a party, took all kinds of thousands of dollars from Eric Prince, the head of Blackwater, who has been, his company has been accused of murder. He has said that he's on a Christian crusade in the Middle East. You okay with Mike Pence and his radical associations?
I think that there are people that lean very far on both sides. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, maybe, but I haven't noticed Van Jones leaning very far on either side. And, you know, right now, Eric Prince has received billions of dollars from the U.S. government, from George Bush, and now from Barack Obama. Are you okay with that?
Well, I guess the question would be, is why would he go ahead... Why would he go ahead and...
I got to get out. Hang on, Tom. Okay. I'll be back in a second.
Nope.
Malloy Show live on Labor Day night. Brad Friedman in for Mike. We're talking about that liar Glenn Beck, that opportunist, that political terrorist, who and the Obama administration who folded over for them by throwing Van Jones under a bus. I was speaking with Tom in Nashville, and Tom, we got a full bunch of phone lines here, so I only have a second, but I didn't want to cut you off. I wanted to be fair. You think I'm parsing Glenn Beck? You think it wasn't the 9/11 issue, that it was his radical, quote unquote, radical past of Van Jones, right?
I absolutely think that. the 9/11 the 9/11 issue was basically stemmed up from Alex Jones, who is probably as far out there as the folks who were signing petitions on Barack Obama's authenticity of being a U.S. citizen.
So, all right. So you're saying that it's his radical past, but you don't know what it is. What did he do that was so radical?
They're throwing out the same type of sound bites that you are, as far as the media is throwing out the same type of sound bites that you are.
No.
Am I identifying well?
No, let me play this for you. Here's what.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Where's the proof that farmers were spraying pesticides on migrant workers?
I don't know. Sounds like a reasonable question for an unreasonable time. What's the problem with asking that question? Are we not allowed to ask questions?
Well, no, that wasn't a question. That was a statement that he made.
Okay. I don't know. Let's ask him. What's the problem with that?
Why wouldn't he respond to defend that statement?
Who asked him to defend it?
Well, unfortunately, nobody put him in front of a microphone or a camera.
Well, you're not allowed to. So he made a statement, and because Glenn Beck wonders the poison that is the pesticide that is poisoning all kinds of farms over, he asked about that, and that's a concern. I don't understand your concern, Tom.
No, it was an accusation that people were purposely and willingly doing harm.
Well, I'd love to hear the quote where he says they're purposely and willingly doing harm. And I got to let you go, Tom. Not trying to be unfair, but I want to get to all these calls. The fact is, you know, if Glenn Beck says
on top of all of the radical, progressive, and communist nonsense coming from Obama's green job czar, Van Jones, you can now add, thinks the Bush administration blew up the World Trade Centers and covered it up.
No, you can't, Glenn.
You know, some people are saying about me that I'm a conspiracy theorist.
No, you're a loon.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I have all of this stuff on tape. There's
really
no conspiracy here. You can find it yourself. You don't even have to listen to me.
Well, you know what? I tried to find it myself, and I did, and I went and read what he actually signed, which he didn't remember signing or didn't remember that it was worded that way. Nonetheless, I read it, and I can't find any problem with it. They're asking questions. Exactly what Glenn Beck keeps telling you to do. Question boldly. Glenn Beck lied. Garrick in Los Angeles. What's up, Garrick?
Hey, how you doing?
I really think
what's going on this Obama administration, let them go after Valerie Jarrett. This is character assassination. This is grounds for Fox News to be sued.
By who?
Obama, Garrick? I think Obama is going to outfox Rupert Murdoch.
Obama is going to sue Fox News? What? Huh?
He's going to outfox Rupert Murdoch because let Glenn Beck go after Valerie Jarrett. That's character assassination. That's grounds to be sued. And second of all,
who's going to sue? Are you suggesting Van Jones is going to sue Fox News?
He can. That's character assassination.
Well, of course he can. He's a public official. And so if he sues, they can open him up in deposition. They can ask for anything that was ever written, that he ever said anywhere, any communications with anybody there. No, of course he's not going to sue. If you think, and this is, you know, I hear this all the time from progressives, actually from Democrats. Oh, he's outfoxing them. Oh, he's playing three-dimensional super-duper double-dare chess.
They don't tell you when they're coming. You see, one thing, we were talking about these logs, and then all of a sudden they got released this week. You see, they don't tell you everything when they're coming. And about this health care, I really believe he's playing chess with them.
Uh-huh.
And the media, they keep trying to sell a story. And then another thing, too, Fox News has to worry about. You know, all these death threats, all these foil plots that they've been plotting on Obama, they've all been caught with Fox News propaganda. Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Michelle Malkin.
Okay, and who's, and Garrick, and whose ratings are going up and whose ratings are going down? Well, let's see. Glenn Beck's are going through the roof. Obama's are going down.
You're making terrorist threats against the president. The ratings don't mean anything. You can go to jail for that.
What about Barack Obama's ratings? Garrick, come on. Listen, Garrick, I got...
It's only been 8 months. There's no bad struggle.
All
there's
right.
No progress. This is going to take time. You went through 8 years of hell.
Okay.
Keep some optimism.
I hope you're right.
I hope you're right.
I hope you're right. I really do. I hope you're right. I fear you're not. But I really do appreciate the call. All right, let's see. Let's get to Rick in Coos Bay, Oregon. Hey, Rick, what's up?
Oh, well, I just wanted to say I don't think Obama's playing chess. He's playing tag, and we're it. The only way that we're going to get anything on the progressive agenda accomplished is if we get out on the streets like the previous gentleman said that you had on. And I think we need to focus on the single-payer movement because it's already in the news. We don't have to beg for media attention. So I'm going up to Portland right now to join the Mattis Health Doctors Tour to Washington, D.C. I'd like to encourage all the listeners to honk if they see the Mattis Health Tour go by. They're going to hit 30 cities on their way to Washington to demand that Obama listen to them.
Nice. Do you guys happen to have one of those great big huge buses with 12 cots, cable TV, and internet access? Because that's what the Tea Party Express has. Do you guys have that?
No. My friends who started it, they bought an old Winnebago. There's about six of them crammed into it. And I have an RV myself. It's called the Single Payer Express. It says all over it, Single Payer Now, stop the bailout. And I'm going to be driving with them as far as Montana.
You mean that jackass Griff Jenkins hasn't come by and done a special from inside your van?
Who's Griff Jenkins?
Griff Jenkins, just some Fox News jackass. Rick, thank you for doing what you're doing. Keep raising hell out there. Really appreciate it. Let's get that Single Payer Express to D.C. And let's have some of you progressives out there stand up for it. Dorian in Long Beach, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Yeah, hi, how you feeling?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah, well, you know one thing, as an American citizen, I felt as though that we were lied to 8 years ago about this attack on New York City.
Well, that's great,
and
because now, Dorian, you will never get to be in the Obama administration.
Yeah. Well, I feel as though there should be another investigation. I feel very strongly in a way there should be another one. There are a lot of things we were not told 8 years ago.
Radical. Radical, Dorian. You'll never get to serve. But anyway, I appreciate your thought. We're going to be having another one of those radicals who thinks that the official story, that there was lies and cover-ups and everything else. He happens to be the senior counsel on the 9/11 Commission, John Fielding. Farmer. Fielding? Farmer? He'll be joining us. He's got a new book out. He'll be joining us Friday on the 8th anniversary of 9/11. 877-520-1150. Let me get to... who's... oh, here's a radical. Tom in El Monte, California. Welcome to the Malloy Show.
Yeah, how'd you know I was a radical?
Oh, it says capitalism to blame. That must mean you're either Michael Moore, or you're one of those radical fringe associations. You don't get to work in public service either.
No, actually, I wanted to say that, of course, everything ties into it. But I really wanted to say I've seen you before on a Ustream. You have a Ustream thing going on. And you really gave a good rant one night filling in for Mike Malloy last July 2008. Do you remember that?
Well, you know, I don't remember the rant, but if it was that good, I'm playing it tomorrow and not coming in. I'm just going to play the rant from July.
Oh,
thanks, Tom.
Great.
I appreciate that.
All right, bye.
All right. okay, who else? I'm going to try to get to all these calls. 877-520-1150. And by the way, as I try to let everybody know, if you disagree with me, you go to the front of the line. We'd love to hear from you. That includes you wing nuts. You want to defend Glenn Beck? Bring it on. We'd love to hear from you. Unlike the wacko, fringe, radical, republicanist shows, we're willing to have discussions with all people, not just people who agrees with me. All right, who's been holding for a while here? Tyler in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Tyler, what's up?
Hey, Brad, from Phoenix, actually Queen Creek, Arizona. We're called the New Alabama now, affectionately, down here.
Is that right? Why is that?
Well, we're we're about equal to the South now. We got a pretty much brain dead population down here. They're still crying that John McCain didn't get in, but that's another story.
Oh, call the wambulance. Yeah, I know.
We're going to finally, the great thing about the healthcare thing is there's going to be no more of this chess playing and all this. The cards are going to be on the table. We're going to get shaken down in a couple days here saying that we're holding up Bob Helter fund. He's going to give us his sister soldier speech on the public option. There's no way they're going for it. He's already cut the deal. It's clear now. And
so wait, Tyler, you're saying that he's going to come out Wednesday night and say we're having the public option, and that is that?
No. I take that back. Maybe not Wednesday night, but after he gives his speech and we get down to the nitty gritty, and I'm not sure how soon they'll push.
And we're going to get a public option, or is it going to be one of these triggers 5 years from now?
It'll be a trigger. He'll do the trigger thing because he hasn't given us one thing. There's not been one thing that he's given us since the election. So why would we expect him to give us this?
I concur. Thanks for that call, Tyler. We'll see you out there in Phoenix in a couple of months. That's what I suspect. Oh, we'll give you the public option in 2, 3, 5 years if the private insurance company don't come around. Well, they're not going to come around. They haven't come around. Of course they're not. And in the meantime, 2, 3, 5 years down the road, plenty of time for the Republicans to get back in power, isn't it? And change that law, isn't it? Yeah. I suspect as much. Should I get to a break? Yeah, I'll get to a break. We'll get to a break. We'll come back. The new Alabama, he said. You got that? Attaboy. All right. We'll come back, finish up with more of your calls. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy all damn week. Get over it. Friedman in for Mike Malloy live on Labor Day night. One more segment here. Going to try to fly through as many calls as I can. However, I forgot. I usually try to do my shout out to the truth seekers over at DU. Hey, guys. Happy Labor Day. All right. Going to ask you callers to speak quick so we can get through to as many as we can, if you don't mind. All right. Bob from Berkeley. What's up, Bob?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Look, I got very brief.
All right.
What we're forgetting is Joseph McCarthy.
Yep.
And Glenn Beck is the new McCarthy, and he'll get his hands on every kind of list out there.
Yep.
And he'll be working with contractors who were contracted to work with the government to look into people's past.
Yep.
That really needs to be publicized everywhere.
You're absolutely right. Thanks for that call, Bob. This is absolutely McCarthyism all over again, and that's why I'm so ticked off at cowards like Rahm Emanuel and friends who rolled over to this. Fox News, Glenn Beck, they got a taste for blood. I promise you they're coming for more. Ken, you've been holding a long time in Tucson. My apologies. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Howdy, Brad. I'll make it quick.
Thanks, Ken.
Obama promised us he was going to fight. And I loved that guy, and I had progressive friends that said he was going to break my heart. I thought I was going to get an intelligent, articulate man, another Roosevelt, that was going to use all of his talent to fight for the things he promised to fight for, and he gets in, and he refuses to do it. He will not fight. He just sits back, and I cannot understand it, and he's breaking our hearts.
Thanks for that call, Ken. Nora disagrees with you in Minneapolis. What's up, Nora?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All these people that want to judge Obama, what Obama has done, what he's doing.
Yeah.
Do they sit and think about what it is to be him as a black man that's getting 30 threats of death a day and how fast he can move within 500 or 1,000 different What do you call it?
You got to turn down your radio there, Nora, because I'm having trouble hearing. So are you suggesting because he's a black man, because he gets so many threats, and I agree, you're suggesting that he should...
be judged in about 3 to 6 years, not right now. And the people, dude, aren't even smart enough that they take all these polls. They don't have clue one of what he's living through.
Okay, well, one of the reasons I think they don't have clue one is because we don't have a media, and because Barack Obama has removed his call for media reform from the White House website. But I hear you.
Can I say one more subject real quick?
If you could do it in 10 seconds, Nora.
Okay, I want a head to roll about the 90 civilians that were bombed in Afghanistan, and Angela Merkel of Germany has called for the investigation of the German general who ordered the bombing, and now we're going to get blamed?
Okay.
I want heads to roll, and I told my beloved congressman today.
Thanks, Nora. Appreciate that call. Let's see. And Steve from Austin, I think, agrees with Nora. Steve, what's up?
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, Brad, great to hear you on the Malloy Network.
Thanks,
once
sir.
Again.
Thank you.
Let's be just a little more patient.
Okay.
This President Obama is a very intelligent, and I think he's a very calculating man. And I think it's just going to let everybody show what they are, who they are, what they think, and then he's going to move on in a very progressive way, maybe not as wildly progressive as some of us would hope, and I wish.
I hope you're right. I fear you're wrong. I got to get to another call because I got to get out. Thanks, Steve. Ron in Ran in L.A., you got about 15 seconds. What's up, Ran?
Okay, 14 now. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Obama doesn't have any courage. None of these people have any courage. And just a quick comment. You know, the lady just said, well, he's black and they threaten him. Well, forget about that. What about all the white people, the Pelosis, the other people that are in Congress and the cabinet? I mean, they're not black. They're not getting threatened.
What's their excuse? Thanks, Ren. I appreciate that. George and Brea, really quick.
Really quick, I think that this repetition of what they're saying on the right is becoming counterproductive, that we're not getting any positive messages from the left anymore. We're just getting responses to the nut jobs like Glenn Beck.
I concur with you, by the way, George, but I think that if you don't push back, it's because there's not enough progressivism, enough leadership that allows them to take someone down like they did, like Van Jones, for no good reason. But I agree. The left is like reactive. Stop reacting. You're in charge. Start leading. 3PC, there you go, in St. Petersburg, Florida. Sorry, you've been holding a long time, and all I'm going to give you is 15 seconds. Sorry.
Please go read the comments on this website. I don't agree with the gentleman totally, but he's very brilliant about the money changers that run the world, and he's 100% accurate, I believe, on that.
What website?
It's called Henry, H-E-N-R-Y, MAKOW.com. Henry Mako, he's a wonderful mentor, Jewish mentor of mine.
I got to get out. It's the bottom of the show. Thanks, PC. I appreciate it. Sorry to those folks I didn't get to. I swear I tried. My thanks to Tony Sorrentino, engineering in here, Desi Doyen producing, and of course, my guests, Kevin Zeese and David Swanson, and of course, Kathy and Mike Malloy, wherever they may be. Brad Friedman, I will be back tomorrow night. Thanks for listening.